right, it's time for us to get started this evening. Maybe a few minutes late here, but y'all have always taken advantage of the time to visit. So let's begin with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this day. We're thankful for the rain and for the many blessings that you shower upon us and all the things that you do for us. And Father, we pray that you continue to watch over us and keep us safe. And Lord, we pray that you be with those of our number that are sick and those that are hurting and dealing with very serious situations, and those that have lost loved ones, be with them and comfort them. And Father, we pray that you be with us as we strive to live the life that you've called us to live through your word, and as we strive to ward off the attacks of the devil. We're thankful for the opportunity to be together this evening and come together in the middle of the week and strengthen each other and to learn from your word. Father, we're thankful for your church and for, as we've been seeing in the book of Acts, the beginnings of it in Acts and all the many things that you did through your providence and through your love for us and through the death of your son Jesus. And Father, I pray that we never take that great sacrifice for granted and that you forgive us when we do. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we are in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, and last week we looked at the healing of the lame man at the gate called Beautiful, and then they were arrested at the beginning of chapter 4 and brought before the Sanhedrin to explain who gave them permission to perform this miracle. It wasn't about the whether or not it was a legitimate miracle or anything along those lines. It was just to find out who gave them permission to do it. And Peter uses the opportunity to speak, filled with the Holy Spirit, and speaks very pointedly that they had crucified Jesus who gave them the power to do this. And as we left off last week, we were looking at about verse 13, the marveling of the Sanhedrin, that they realized that these were uneducated and untrained men. They were fishermen by trade. And yet they perceived that they had spent time with Jesus because of their boldness of Peter and John. And so we were looking at that last week as we ran out of time. So let's back up to verse 13, and we'll read, and then we'll begin to kind of break this part down. Verse 13 says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go outside of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, 'What shall we do to these men? For indeed a notable miracle has been done through them, is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name.' So they called them and commanded them to speak, not to speak at all, nor to teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, 'Whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge, for we cannot but speak the things of which we have seen and heard.' So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed." Okay, so they see the boldness of Peter and John. They realize that they spent time with Jesus. We mentioned last week that Jesus had similar things happen to him when the people saw how boldly he taught in the synagogue, and they realized, you know, is this not the carpenter's son? And they marveled at him as well, realizing that he had not been trained formally like the scribes and the Pharisees would have. And so they come together and they say, you know, the man who's been healed standing with him, they say, we can't deny the miracle. So what do they decide to do since they can't deny the miracle? What's the reaction of the Sanhedrin? Okay. So they say, mm-hmm. So they saw the political nature of it, in that all the people are glorifying God for the healing that this man has received, and we can't deny the miracle itself, so we're going to have to let him go. We can't beat him, we can't imprison them, because the people will revolt against us. Now remember, last week we talked about the fact that they're questioning, who gave you permission to do this? It's all about authority and control and power. And they're afraid if they threaten or beat them for what they've done, when all the people are rejoicing, they will lose their power or lose their position. So they release them. What else do they do besides releasing them? Okay. They try to intimidate them by threatening them. It says the word threaten multiple times here, that they, in verse 17, let us severely threaten them. From now on, that they speak no man in this name. Now, severely threaten, I would assume that they were threatening bodily harm. If you do this, then, something that would really intimidate them, in at least in the Sanhedrin's mind. But what is the reaction of Peter and John at the threatening? Okay. Whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you or to listen to God, you judge. So they put it back on them. That's up to you. We have to do what we were sent here to do. We have to do what we've seen. We have to share this good news. It's kind of like Jeremiah when he tried to, he said, I can't help but speak the words of God. It's like a fire shut up in my bones. And so they say, you're going to have to judge for yourself. But they're not listening to the threat of the Sanhedrin at all. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So they're going to do it no matter what. And then it says they further threatened them. So I don't know if it was just a repeat of the same things or if they took it a step further. Maybe the first time they severely threatened him, it was, we're going to beat you 49 times and do X, Y, and Z to you. And then this time, they threaten them further, saying, well, okay, we're going to kill you if you continue to do it. But they let them go, and they can't punish them, at least at this point in time, because of the fear of the people. And, of course, as it tells us that he was more than 40 years old, probably at the temple most of that time. So they speak in response to this with boldness. And we're going to see in the next paragraph them take it even really a step further in their reaction. In verse 23, then it says, and being let go, they went into their own to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. So when they heard it, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God, who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things, and the kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly, against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word, by stretching out your hand to heal, and the signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Okay, so they leave the Sanhedrin, and they go to, it says to their companions, to their own companions. Who would that be? Okay. The disciples, they go to the church. They go to their brothers in Christ, and they report all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So they tell them, you're never going to believe what happened to us. Here's the full story. They probably, many of them may have been going into the temple with them when they were arrested, and they were held to the next day before to be tried by the Sanhedrin. And so they're giving them the follow-up story. Here's the threatenings that they gave us, and the report of what has happened. Now, what's the response of the disciples when they hear about the threatenings? How do they respond? Okay. They praise God. They raise their voice with one accord. And then they begin to quote from the Old Testament. They're reminded of the fact that the rulers were going to take a stand against the Lord and against his Christ. And then they talk about the other people who stood against Jesus. Herod, Pontius Pilate, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel, all of these people gather together. But who do they give the ultimate credit behind all of that? They say all these people oppose Jesus, but who do they really give the underlying cause to? Okay? They bring it back to God, which is kind of a unique perspective. They say, these people opposed your Christ, and they did what your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. So they bring it back to, this was God's plan all along. They fulfilled the plan, and we're being threatened for the cause of Christ, and we're going to continue to fulfill your plan as well. In fact, it says they prayed for boldness. They spoke with boldness. That's what we saw back in verse 13, that they, when the Sanhedrin saw the boldness of Peter and John, they threatened them, they let them go, and then they go to the disciples and they tell them what happened, and they pray for